To rock and roll, and good morning, everyone. It is Monday, May 29th. It is Memorial Day. This is a day that we give thanks and gratitude for all that serve our amazing country. But, you know, we can't forget that it's Monday mindset as well. And we can't forget about that we still got to chat about our health and wellness. So we're going to get into all of that. This is Carol Sue, aka Nani Boss, live with you.
Sisters, hey, good morning, everyone. This is Janice, aka Wellness Diva 5.0, Monday, May 29th. And lifestyle, you know, when we say the word lifestyle, some may think of fashion. You know, there's so many different lifestyles, like that big umbrella, right? Today we have on an amazing guest, Dr. Erin Mayfield. Excuse me, she is an OBGYN lifestyle medicine physician with over 35 years of practice under her belt. And we are so excited to welcome you, Dr. Erin. Thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, well, I am just thrilled to be here today. I do live in Pensacola, Florida, and we have
multiple military
bases here. Yeah. And so we're very cognizant also of the service that our military provides, and I'd like to honor them also, and also honor the memories of all of those who died for us so that we could be here today and have free conversation and basically do whatever we want to with our lives. So
I'm glad that you brought that up, because I think that's, you know, when these holidays appear, especially when they're, you know, Labor Day, Memorial Day, people, they get a little confused of the actual meaning. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is really for those that, you know, pay the ultimate price. A lot of people forget that piece to it. So while we want to definitely embrace all that serve, whether they're in military, law enforcement, emergency medical stuff, whatever, anyone that serves definitely deserves our gratitude. But it's the lost, you know, the lost soldier. And I was reminded that today there's a picture that has actually been out for years, and it's called the fallen soldier, and setting that place at the table for them. Mm-hmm. And the meaning, while when you see the picture, tugs at your heart, you know, it shows that at a table, you know, and a table is generally, you know, an area of gathering, of talking about memories, breaking bread, sharing, you know, different things. And that is the perfect opportunity for you, if you have a loved one that served and lost their life, to keep reminding the generations beyond us who those important people, you know, were. So I'm glad you brought that up. That's awesome.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. We do honor those who make what we do possible. That's the bottom line. Dr. Mayfield, as I was doing your intro, and, you know, I've read your bio so many times and looked at, you know, your different social media, and I always come back to lifestyle, because we live a lifestyle every day. And as I mentioned, that can mean different things to different people. Mm-hmm. What have you found, and this may be too broad of a question, but what have you found is a common denominator for when somebody comes to you for help regarding their lifestyle? I mean, I would assume, excuse me, it would involve, oh, I want to lose weight. Like, what is the common denominator that you often hear with a lifestyle?
Well, that's a wonderful point. And I do reflect back on my experience about that, because I, as a gynecologist, I've talked to thousands and thousands of women, and I love my women. I love, especially when they came in for their preventative exam and their pap smear, and we got to sit and talk about all of these issues. So when they came in, we just have really nice conversations about, okay, what are the problems? Well, it's frequently I would hear, I can't lose weight. I look at a piece of pie and I gain weight. I don't sleep well. I ache all over. I'm sick and tired of taking all of these pills. And so that was a common theme that I heard every day. And we'd sit down and we'd try to figure out what were the contributing factors. We'd create a diet plan, but not a traditional diet. It was always more about shifting the type of foods that we eat, how to shave calories, how to shave fat grams, so that weight would come off more naturally. And I've always been a big proponent of utilizing the resources we have and not relying on fads or supplements that people try to sell. I mean, people are selling supplements and they make them sound wonderful because they want to make money, right? So we can have a healthy lifestyle and we can live it and we can do it with foods from the grocery store. We don't have to buy a lot of extra stuff to do that. So that was a driving factor. What I found through the years was we'd get a plan of action and they'd leave my office and they'd be excited about the potential and I'd be excited about the potential, but then they come back a year later for their annual exam and it seems like the problem still persisted. And it was actually emotionally painful for me because I felt like I really wasn't helping. So after I moved to Pensacola with my husband, I practiced in Covington, Georgia for almost 30 years. When I moved to Pensacola with my husband, I was about to start working as a gynecologist. I fell and I completely ruptured my right rotator cuff, which, you know, I couldn't work at that point. So I lost my new potential job, but it gave me a lot of time to read. And that's when I discovered this newly organized medical specialty called lifestyle medicine. And it was everything I'd practiced. It just didn't have a definition. So we focus on the six pillars of health. And one of them is whole food, plant-based eating. What I didn't know and what I learned through my new training was nutrition information that wasn't available to me when I was in training in the 80s. And it was a slam dunk for me because I'd already read Dr. T. Colin Campbell's book, The China Study, and I became a plant-based eater and realized how the foods that we eat, the standard American diet foods, and how we've transitioned into a meat-heavy, dairy-heavy, and processed food-heavy diet, a daily diet, is really what's making the weight stick.
Mm-hmm.
And when we transition back to whole plant foods and we get away from the salt, fat, and the sugar and really substitute beans for meat, it's that easy, and start cooking at home again, everything else happens naturally. So when we focus on eating healthy whole plant foods and we learn how to cook it, we lose weight naturally. All of a sudden, we can drop our blood pressure naturally. Blood sugars drop naturally. We can reverse diabetes. We have the potential to actually start dropping blood sugars in 72 hours when we change what we eat. The potential exists to drop cholesterol 30 points in a month by changing what we eat. So it's extremely powerful, and there are decades of research that support it and lots of exciting scientific information to share about why whole plant foods change your life. So that may have been too long of an answer, but
that is perfect. You know, and you know, when you say the six pillars of health, what are specifically the six pillars of health?
Six pillars. So of course, number one is whole food, plant-based eating. And we always talk about whole plant foods because now the marketing industry and the food industry has gotten a hold of this thing that people are interested in plants. It's kind of on their radar screen. So there's a lot of processed foods that have chemicals in it that are not whole plant foods. So whole plant foods, exercise. Moderate exercise dramatically reduces cardiovascular risk. That's 30 minutes of moderate walking 5 days a week. It does wonders. We've got healthy sleep. We know that skimping on sleep is really not good for longevity. It does increase our risk of getting all types of diseases. So 7 to 8 hours is really what adults need. We've got stress management. We can't necessarily reduce stress. We have a lot of stress in our daily lives, but we can certainly learn how to manage it differently. We know loving relationships and not being lonely makes a huge difference in our mental health and our heart health, which translates to physical health. Let's see. So we've got, and of course, avoiding chemicals, you know, toxic substances. Well, alcohol and cigarettes are central to that. Illegal drugs, same problem. I've had friends go through drug and alcohol rehab, and we talk a lot in rehab and the addiction circles about mind-altering substances. So we're very careful about that, whether that's illegal drugs, prescription drugs, or over-the-counter drugs. They all make a difference in how we feel.
A lot to consider. Carol Sue, we always talk about these things, but I think a lot of times, for instance, and I talk about sleep a lot because I don't necessarily get the required amount of sleep. Stress is a huge thing. Mm-hmm. So Carol Sue, what is your take on, for instance, the stress management aspect of it, avoiding the chemicals? Like, what is your take on all of that?
Well, a few points. I'm actually going to disagree with the doctor on a couple of things regarding supplementation, because number one, the company that we both are connected to are a plant-based supplement, and it's actually scientifically proven that our bodies cannot get what it fully needs just by food alone. Partly because, which I agree, the way that it's processed with the chemicals that are in there, the way it's processed, the additives that they add. But there is differences in supplementation because we don't even like to use the word diet, because diet, we all do that. Diet means food, eating food. It's whether you've got a healthy diet or not so healthy diet. And I think a lot of people fall trapped to the convenience of, say, the fast food line, like you're saying, all the processed food, things that have those things in them that are detrimental to most people's health. But a lot of people, if you're using a plant-based supplement, which that's what we are connected with, that is also gluten-free, that has everything actually derived from plants. Supplementation is a necessity for many, many people, because we can't get exactly everything that our bodies need from a food element alone. A lot of people, now for instance, that I'm gonna use myself as an example, I eat a lot of, mostly organic. I eat, but my body cannot sustain enough potassium. No matter if I'm eating the potatoes, no matter if I'm eating bananas, like the good way you can get potassium. And the only way that my body can get what it needs is by supplementation. There are a lot of people that naturally they could eat all of them vitamin C, get out there and get that great sunshine and still not get enough that their body needs. So I don't want to discount the supplement piece that a lot of people do. There is definitely a difference in supplementation, and it has to do with a lot of what's available over the counter has a lot of fillers in them. And it actually has to do with the absorption rate of what your body can absorb. So generally speaking, anything over the counter has an average of 32, like maybe about 51% that your body absorbs before that you've dispelled it from peeing out, but your body hasn't even had a chance to absorb it because of the way that it's processed. A lot of vitamins are processed. If you get a good plant-based supplement with a high, and what we have is 98% absorption rate. That's why we feel our vitamins, because they're actually being absorbed. So there are a lot of people that do definitely need that supplementation. So I don't want to discount that out. Regarding the stress piece, absolutely. There are a lot of foods that will naturally cause that acceleration of stress that are not good, like the refined sugars, too much salt. Let's face it, if you're having too much sodium in your diet, you're going to get bloated. It's going to impact your muscles, your joints, and all of these different elements that are not healthy for us impact our sleep. And the missing part about sleep that people don't understand, while yes, we know when you get a good night's sleep, right, it eases that stress. You may wake up feeling cheerful, ready to get on your day, but it's naturally, that is when our bodies naturally repair itself, which kind of allow now helps you to go back to natural ingredients, good supplementation, good variety of color of sleep, of food on your plate, is really going to add that value to that quality night's sleep with some great ingredients that will actually help you sleep better, more soundly, because, you know, I got a good night's sleep. Well, if you're waking up and your body is not feeling good and it's achy, you didn't get a good night's sleep. Your body didn't have that chance to actually get into that deep REM sleep. So I think that adds to people's stress when they don't sleep well. So I think they're really
huge
component together. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I'd love to circle back to the supplements for a minute.
Sure.
So people who are plant-based eaters, they do need a vitamin B12 supplement.
Sure.
Because the plants don't have vitamin B12. Right. And people who don't get outside, who don't get their 20 minutes of sun a day, need their vitamin D, because otherwise their vitamin D levels will tank.
Exactly. So
those two supplements, you know, that are important consideration, really. The vitamin D is for anyone who spends most of their time inside. So absolutely.
Exactly.
So I'd love to get the name of your supplement. And I'd also like to address the sodium issue. You know, that's a significant issue, especially for chronic kidney disease. That's one thing that we don't hear much about. We hear about the diabetes and high blood pressure and all of that. We know that 80% of chronic diseases are due to lifestyle choices, which is staggering, which means we really have control over that. That's the exciting part. 80% of chronic diseases are really unnecessary. But we don't hear much about chronic kidney disease. So if it's okay, I'd just like to throw a couple tidbits out about.
Absolutely.
So 1 in 7 people in America has chronic kidney disease, and most of them don't know it because it really and truly is a silent killer. We know that the only way to know if you have it is to make sure that you've got regular blood work at your doctor's office, checking kidney function. We know that people can progress through the 4 stages of chronic kidney disease, which is damage to the internal functioning of the kidney tissues. We know that people can get to stage 4 and need dialysis, and maybe their only symptom is fatigue. They just don't know they have it. So, circling back to the sodium, the little tidbit that's so interesting about the sodium is we know that sodium is very damaging to our blood vessels. We know that we need flexibility of the blood vessels to maintain great health all over our body. So we want to restrict the sodium to less than 1500 milligrams a day, which I know you've heard many times. But in fact, when we do that, that's like the equivalent of taking 1 blood pressure pill. So you can decrease your blood pressure by keeping the sodium under 1500 milligrams a day. So that's staggering. We know that. We know that things like too much phosphorus in the diet creates an imbalance with our calcium metabolism. We know that red meat increases chronic kidney disease risk. If you eat red meat on a regular basis, that increases your risk 40%. And we know that you can decrease your incidence of chronic kidney disease by 53% eating 33 grams of fiber or more per day.
Amazing.
Yeah, it is. It's phenomenal. So we've got data in all of these different areas to demonstrate how beneficial switching away from the meat and the dairy and eating the whole plant foods are. So it's very exciting work.
It is. And I love that you talked about and hinted about the point dairy. I'm probably about 85% dairy free now. Mm-hmm. And it was instrumental when I saw a documentary on Netflix, What the Hell?
And
when I saw that, I'm like, oh Lordy. And probably, and probably people that are, you know, we're in the generations of being born in the 50s and 60s, you know, milk, which I found unique, the push on milk, which of course we know, you know, back in the day when they delivered the milk, totally different ball game from what we're dealing with dairy at this time, but how much the industry as a whole, and I found it very disturbing that one of the number one causes for women and for breast cancer and men too, is dairy. And yet we have a pink ribbon on a carton of milk. And I thought, this does not make any sense to me. And we actually, within that documentary, they had this, the gentleman that was doing the narration contacted the American Cancer Society and asked, you know, if the number one cause for breast cancer is definitely correlated with dairy.
Yes.
Why is that not on your website? And they, you know, he obviously was directed to many different department heads that no one gave him a direct answer. And when you really start to, as you say, do the research of things that you can control as a consumer, yes, for your own health and well-being, mm-hmm, to connect the dots between that, you know, corporations, and they're all corporations. American Cancer Society does good work, but they're a corporation.
Yeah.
You know, in connection with the dairy industry as a whole, that you really find like, wow, like this is in my control. I can say no to certain food groups that I know, even though they're painting the picture that they're good for us. Because milk does the body good. It makes your bones strong. I mean, we were like, yeah, brought up with that.
Absolutely. And what
a reality check for us as consumers to say, instead of, and what I also want to compliment you on is you're very unique from a medical profession, because I don't think the medical profession as a whole implements the nutritional piece to mental health, physical health, lifestyle choices. And I applaud you for that, because a lot of doctors do not do that. Drives me cuckoo that they don't understand. Some of them prefer to write the prescription, get their prescription pad out. And I'm one of them where, you know, I started doing this complete turnabout. And with doing that, you know, I noticed my blood pressure was higher. And the doctor was, get ready to give me that prescription. I said, give me a month, mm-hmm, to really impact those numbers. You know, yeah, I want to be in control of that. The cholesterol was a little on the high side, and I don't eat a lot of fatty foods. Some of it is, you know, generic. I mean, hereditary. So, mm-hmm, I get that. But I said, let me make some, really do a journal of what my intake is, unlike you're saying about even just the sodium numbers. And you are surprised, because if you're not keeping track of them, and then also accounting for, like, if you go out to eat, which we know everything is filled with sodium when you're, you know, eating out of your own control. So my numbers did come down enough where I actually went off, and I didn't even tell her. And she came back to, oh, the prescription's really working well. And I'm like, well, and she's like, you can't just stop it. I go, well, I did. I said, you know, I took control. Now there are times where there is a fluctuation. So I'm more cognizant of that. I take my blood pressure every morning. Awesome. So she said, okay. And she gave me the love. She goes, if it starts creeping up, you know, take it for a few days, double check what you're doing, because we don't want you to, mm-hmm. And I said, I get that. But it's about really saying, no, I have to be an active member, an active participant in my own health.
Yes.
And I think that's the missing piece. So many people rely on whatever the doctor says, or they're not in line with the doctor's thinking. And I think, ooh, I can't ask that question. And I love the fact that you really have incorporated with that with your patients, because I think that is something that most doctors should be doing and they're not. So I applaud you on that. That's amazing.
Well, thank you. Well, to me, working with my women, it's always been a team effort. Right. It's not just me and them. It's like we're a team, and we're a team to try to make sure that they're safe and that their lives are better. And so that's a critical issue for me. I want to make sure that, and even, I mean, right down to someone needing surgery, we worked as hard as we could to stay out of the operating room. But if one of my patients, if we did everything we could and it looked like they needed surgery, I had to know in my heart that they knew in their heart that that was absolutely the last resort. And it's like a team effort, still a team effort.
I love that.
Yeah. So there are a couple thoughts that I have that I'd like to share. One is the young physicians are getting exposed to lifestyle medicine and they love it. And they don't want to be pill pushers. Physicians who learn about it are excited about it. So the college is growing very rapidly. So that's a wonderful thing. We'll see more of it in the future. Circling back to the supplements just for a second. And I probably didn't make myself clear. my message to people is do the whole plant foods, like get back to basics and concentrate on those things. And then if you need supplements, then that's a different, then layer it, you know, on top.
Exactly.
But really what we've been marketed to, the marketing message to us has been, take the supplement and it'll fix everything. And I know that you don't think that. And I know that Janice doesn't think that.
Right.
We know that getting back to basics is the foundation. And then you layer on top of that. But unfortunately, because of the food industry, because of the marketing industry, it's upside down for us.
Right.
So that's really what I like to emphasize. The food industry, that's another monster. And, you know, it's just a huge monster. I have many examples of just what you described. And yes, we grew up with all of that. And one of the dangers of what we're seeing in younger people is the processed food industry exploded. Well, it came onto the scene in the 1950s, and they've exploded since then. And so most Americans have grown up with and been inundated and literally brainwashed with all of these messages. It's like plants don't have protein. Chicken's a healthy protein. I mean, it's just, you know, there's a long list. We also have these professional associations. Another example of what you're talking about is Kraft Heinz creates a prepackaged lunch for kids called Lunchables. And so they've recently come out and they're celebrating that two of their Lunchables are going to meet and satisfy the national school lunch standard guidelines.
Oh, brother.
And so one of them, yes. So I screenshotted a label for one of my lectures for that. And so the two main ingredients are turkey and cheddar cheese. The sodium content in one Lunchable is almost 800 milligrams. Lunchable. And we know that the World Health Organization declared processed meats a class one carcinogen in 2015.
Correct.
Along with most or all mammalian meats being probably carcinogenic. And so the government, it seems like they sidestepped that because of the food industry. Nobody wants the public to know this. And, you know, processed meat is hot dogs, sausage, jerky, lunch meat. And
I'm guilty. I had a hot dog yesterday.
Now, you know, once in a while, it's not going to kill you.
I know it. I don't eat. I very rarely eat. I eat more of a plant-based diet myself. Yeah. So that was a big jump for me. But I'm like, they look so good. So, yes, I ate one. I'm guilty.
Oh, and I'm not saying they're not good. I mean, they're good. You know, they're delicious. But it's just that we've got this nutrition, this really solid nutrition information, and it's coming internationally. It's not just in the US. It's not just scientists here. But it's all over the world. And yet there are ways that the industries suppress that information from getting out to the public. So we're just out to try to make it better. Spread the word as much as we can.
Exactly. And I think that those pieces, and I know Jan agrees that, you know, I can tell you right now, my ankles, I did pay for the hot dog eating because immediately the sodium, and I have to really be careful of that. My ankles blew up right away. So that's okay. You did a no-no, even though it tasted good, it was not good for you. And I think that, you know, everything in moderation, but you also do have to identify, like, and I wonder with, like you say, with people that are eating these processed meats and the beef industry as a whole, what they're injecting these poor animals with, it's frightening. But the bottom line is, like, if your body is physically showing you, hey, you need to slow that down. I could not imagine someone that ate cold cuts or that kind of food on a daily basis. And a lot of people sadly do. And they wonder why they have, you know, these issues going on. But I think you're right that, you know, people are understanding the value of reading a label and understanding, and like you said, really being proactive. What are my numbers?
Yes.
Ask a doctor for a full blood workup to know where you are if you're unsure, number one. And if your doctor doesn't offer it, I think the preconceived notion that patients, I don't want to say that they're in fear of their doctor, because it's not that necessarily that they're in fear. They just don't want to kind of overstep the boundary. And I say, why? Why do you have that feeling? If you feel like there's something wrong, that's where you're supposed to verbalize to your physician and yes. say, you know, maybe I need a complete workup to kind of know where I am.
Yes.
From all avenues of nutrition, what are my levels, you know, because I have some concerns. And I think, sadly, because the industry is like kind of get them in and get them out so quickly. And, you know, a lot of times doctors are running behind because they're, you know, the staff is limited and they're inundated with so many patients at once that care, you know, how I don't want to bother them. They're in a hurry. So we always advocate for, you know, you are your best advocate. You know how you feel. You know your sleeping pattern. You know if you start really taking charge and journaling what your intake is of food.
Yes.
Hey, you know, this food group really bothers me. Maybe I should not be. And then bring those results to the doctor and say, I really think I need a full blood workup to really know what's going on. More than not, a doctor will, you know, agree with that. You know, yeah, you'll probably get some that, you know, may not, but I think as a whole, and I think we're lacking, the patient is lacking in that confidence to say, hey, I have to be my own advocate. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why that is. I really don't know why people don't grasp that piece to it, that it's okay to ask questions.
Yeah, it's essential, really. It, to me, it can be very stressful going into a physician's office. I've really realized that I feel that same stress when I'm the patient. I sit down and all of a sudden my mind goes
blank. You're probably the worst patient. I'm wondering, but that would be a question. Do you think doctors are worse patients than not?
I think they have a tendency to over-evaluate themselves or to feel like they understand themselves and not rely on their colleagues to help them with problems. I think doctors just try to be too independent.
Right.
Overall. But, you know, a lot of times we do that anyway. But it is stressful. That's why it's so good for people to write down what they're thinking before they go in. Because you sit down in that chair, and there's pressure in that room, and it may not be something we realize, but there is pressure. And I sit down and my palms get sweaty, and you know, it just, and it moves fast, and they come in and they're hyper concentrating on you and what needs to be done, and they've got to solve the problem. And you're right, keep going, because they're under a lot of pressure to see a lot of people. So write down those questions, take them in. Don't be afraid to say, hey, I have some more things I need to talk to you about. And they appreciate that. Doctors want to know what the problems are. They want to know when things are going wrong. They really do. And sometimes you just have to put it right in front of them and say, okay, listen to me. This is a big thing. And they certainly will help. If there's someone who's not willing to help you, then you move on and find someone else who can.
Absolutely. It should be a partnership. I think that's the missing component, is it is a partnership. They have the expertise, but the bottom line, they also know that the real expert is how that person feels. And they know how they feel, and they have to actually communicate that. Communication is key in making sure that you're getting the best care. So that's one of the things that we want to advocate. Don't you think, Jim?
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, being able to ask those questions, and sometimes we don't know what to ask, but maybe if we took an active role, meaning, for instance, you know, if somebody was recently diagnosed with something, okay, well, what does that mean for my overall wellness? What do I need to be aware about? What do I need to be aware of? Getting tongue twisted there. And that really helped me the other day, because as I would, you know, I'm obviously a health coach as well, but I don't know everything. And sometimes when you start to research, you find conflicting information. So at least I was able to go into that appointment with, hey, you know, I looked up this information. What do you see? Because this is conflicting to me. How does that relate to my situation? And it was a great conversation, because it opened up new pathways of, and basically what she said was, everything in moderation, which I already knew, But I think, you know, she wasn't hearing me. She was really listening with great intent and adding value to the questions that I was asking. So I was very appreciative of that. So I think the lesson with that going perhaps into a doctor's appointment is, you know, to come with your list of questions or your concerns. And that really is a great basis for an amazing conversation with your physician.
Yeah,
absolutely. Now, do you feel that this, because you obviously brought up chronic kidney disease. Mm-hmm. Are you finding that is more on the rise? Ironically, I have a friend visiting and she's dealing with a friend of hers that has chronic
kidney disease.
She does dialysis 3 times a week. And she actually got a call from, because she's on the emergency list, last night at midnight from the doctor wanted to know if she had saw any changes in her. And she said, I just saw her Wednesday, something to do with her speech. But she said, well, because her white count is extremely low. And so, you know, we were chatting about, ironically, we were just chatting about that, you know, this kidney disease with this particular friend of hers. And she says, oh my God. So, you know, she immediately started researching and she goes, wow, the information she found was that the disease is progressing when it's that extremely low. And she said, what do you think, you know, is going to happen? And I said, well, our own aunt had that same issue. And she finally made the decision, it's not the quality of life that I want. Hers had, you know, advanced quite quickly. She mm-hmm. made the choice and she knew what that choice meant. Mm-hmm. And she went in it with full awareness of herself, of what she was going to be doing by not doing the dialysis anymore. Are you finding that that particular disease is increasing, and could that be directly related to what we're talking about, like these increased sodium levels in food and additives and whatnot?
Oh, that's a wonderful question. So it absolutely is. So we know the 3 drivers of chronic kidney disease, and that's damage to our kidneys, is high blood pressure, diabetes, and obesity. And so because those continue to rise, the damage in the kidneys follows all of that.
Okay.
And we know that now 75% of adult Americans are overweight or obese, and 20% of children are obese, which is really heartbreaking because we know they're on a fast track to have all these terrible things happen. Heart attacks at a young age, strokes at a young age, cancers at a young age, chronic kidney disease at a young age. So the American Academy of Pediatrics in January put out a position paper that said, you know, that they're encouraging pediatricians to treat obesity in children aggressively, and that includes using prescription medications and bariatric surgery when necessary. So this is truly a health crisis. I like to talk about how there are only 2 types of food. There are foods that harm and there are foods that heal. And so the foods that heal are anti-inflammatory, and obviously the foods that harm are inflammatory. Right. And it circles back to eating the whole plant foods versus the animal proteins. One other thing that's fascinating that also plays into the kidney damage is the fact that the foods that harm, the inflammatory foods, we take it a step further and we know that it creates, especially the meat, creates an acidic environment in the body. And that processing that acid is very damaging to the kidneys over time. It's not going to happen, you know, with one hot dog. It's not going to happen in a year, but it's this lifetime, years of exposure that do it. And the foods that heal, the foods that are anti-inflammatory, create an alkaline environment that the kidneys love. And so it's very healthy for the kidneys. They process that, they thrive. Those delicate membranes are not damaged. And it just all fits together. It works. It either works well and you stay healthy, or it works against you and you end up with all of these chronic problems, which really just, you know, leads to a lot of suffering and early deaths in our friends and loved ones.
Now, can they, when someone's been diagnosed with kidney disease, Is there a point, obviously there's a point of no return. Is there a point if they're diagnosed at an earlier stage of it that they can reverse? So, yes. And if so, what would be that range? I know obviously it might be different for all, but I believe what there is, there's four stages or five?
There are four stages. So there's right. 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Right.
And as we age, we're going to get a little bit of that. Like right. My mother's got stage 2, but that's because she's in her 90s. I mean, okay. You know, so there's going to be some of that as we get older, but you absolutely can arrest the disease progression and even improve it by changing what you eat. So we circle back to the whole plant foods. When you concentrate on that, then all these other wonderful things happen. So basically, you concentrate on the whole plant foods and you get a very balanced diet doing that, as you know. But as we lose weight and our blood sugars improve and our blood pressure improves and we get rid of the extra salt, all of that creates a healing environment for the kidneys too. And it's very, very powerful.
That's amazing. So would you then say, like, as a broad view, like basically stage 2 and under is definitely reversible?
You know, it's really better, hard to say. I don't have data that actually states that definitively, okay. If that makes sense. I mean, generally when they do studies, they enroll people that have the range of kidney disease. So I don't know of any studies where they've just looked at one, like stage 2,
okay. And
then said, let's see if we can reverse it. They may be out there. I'm just not aware to tell you for sure.
Sure. Well, I think, you know, that you're providing hope then. And really that could be applied to multiple things. Mm-hmm. When you have those great conversations with your doctor and say, this is, you know, bring the journal in. And a lot of people say, you journal your food. Well, of course you got to journal your food. Many of us, you don't even realize what our intakes are. And there's great applications and great apps that are out there. That really focus on the macros, and you could really get a definite by actually they make it easy for you. You can put in the food. Sometimes you can put even the brand of food if it's from a corporation or whatnot, and it's going to tell you that information where you really can take charge that, ooh, I'm reaching my limit, mm-hmm. Or oh my God, today it definitely went over. I got to make sure I'm eating, you know, cleaner for the next week to kind of balance that out. So there are so many great things. How can our viewers and listeners get a hold of you? Do you have a Facebook page? Obviously you run a practice, but you know, how can they get a hold of you?
Oh, well, thank you so much for asking. So I'd just like to throw in there, one of my favorite apps is Dr. Greger's app called The Daily Dozen.
The Daily Dozen. I'm writing that one down. Dozen.
And it makes it easy, especially for people who are beginners in this area. All you do is you download it on your phone. It's free. Everything he offers is free. And you click a little box when you eat a serving of fruits, when you eat a serving of vegetables, when you have your 2 cups of greens, when you have your serving of beans, you just click the little box. And at the end of the day, you can see if you've hit target. So you don't even really have to count. You just click the box. So that's an awesome app. Now, personally, my private practice is called Lifestyle Medicine, Wellness, and Recovery. The website is the same. My Facebook page is the same. And we have Instagram. It's Lifestyle Med Wellness, just to shorten it up a little bit. What we do is we have group coaching courses where we focus on helping people with the 6 pillars of health. We have a 4-week course that's more intense that focuses on primarily on the nutrition piece, on switching away from the standard American diet, instituting whole plant foods. And then we have a cooking class. So my associate, it's a blast. Chef Heather Flowers was a wound care specialist at one of our big hospitals for 18 years. She's a registered nurse, but she's transitioned to whole plant foods because she sees the healing power. So we have cooking classes too, and we do it all on Zoom. So people, and we have 2 sessions a week, and people, you know, if they can fit it into their schedule, great. If they can't, there's a recording. We can, we sit and we talk about nutrition. We hash through these problems, but then the second session is the cooking class, and we can all cook together, or people can observe and listen and watch Heather cook. we limit it to 20 people per group because I want to make sure everybody feels like they get personal attention.
Sure.
Our class fee includes two people because lifestyle change is a family affair. And we have regular rotating sessions. So we'd love to see people there.
Jan, maybe we can get Gary and John in on that.
Well, I would have to mute the Zoom on my end because, you know, my husband and I do not have the greatest of cooking skills. I tend to set off the smoke detectors. So I'm glad that, you know, where we can use our gas grills now and I don't have to worry about that. But in any event, thank you so much for sharing all of that information. We, of course, will make sure that is in the show notes. I think that we've only just scratched the surface.
Exactly. The one question I have too is what would be obviously the myth about we know, you know, plant-based diet, and I get this all the time. Like you eat plant-based, you don't need any protein. I said, oh my gosh, do you know how much protein's and it's been like all these different things. What would be the number one bean? Because people get nervous, you know, like how many beans are you eating? What kind of, you know, is there better beans than not? So what would be the most pack for your punch type of bean that you could get from a protein perspective and also from a dietary?
Yeah. So the beans are outstanding for protein and fiber and tons of other nutrients that just your body thrives on, feed your microbiome. You get the healthy bacteria because of it. So the top ones really are lentils and black beans. Yep, although all of those beans are excellent. Soy is excellent for your kidneys. We also know that soy helps reduce the risk of breast cancer and prostate cancer because of those magical phytoestrogens that it has. We use tofu a lot at home and we put it in our smoothies. We love our smoothies. If you get a packet of tofu, 1/5 of that packet is one serving and it's like 12 grams of protein in that scoop. So you throw that in your smoothie and you've automatically got some extra protein in that way if you're worried about it, but it's the healthy healing protein, not that, you know, destructive meat, heme iron protein.
Sure. Thank you.
Those are amazing.
Wonderful. And I just want to segue over and, of course, welcome everyone currently on the Wisdom Audio app. I see a lot of familiar names. So thank you so much for being here today. You know, Mindset Monday, of course, it is Memorial Day and we honor those. We are here in this beautiful space today because of the sacrifices that have been made. Thank you again so much, Dr. Mayfield. This has been such an amazing conversation. And of course, we hope that you come back and visit us again real soon.
Thank you so very much. It's been so much fun talking to you and sharing. And thank you to all your viewers for tapping in. We appreciate that.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. My name is Janice, AKA Wellness Diva 5.0. And I am with two
sisters. And this is Carol Stu, AKA Naughty Boss. It's Memorial Day. You're probably going to be doing some grilling. Did you know? Other ways of grilling protein does not necessarily mean the meat. That's what we're chatting about. Make sure you're introducing those great fiber things that are out there that are natural, good plants that are good for you. Make a healthy salad. I absolutely love zucchini and squash on the grill. It's amazing, very yummy. Add some of those great beans to it and you're gonna have a very healthy diet. But guess what? You're not sacrificing the deliciousness of the food. Because I think that's a big myth that plant-based diet is boring. It is anything but. With that, we are so incredibly blessed to celebrate and have you spend a little time with us on this day. We hope we added value. That is the whole point of our podcast, is adding value. And with that, we will see you for tomorrow for Triumph Tuesday. Maybe you're going to be triumphing over that you said no to that hot dog. We will see you tomorrow. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye for now.